Acts 21. Have you got it? Good. I'm going to read you something else first. I've had this real friend lately that helps me study everything. Because every time I'm reminded of the things that are said to him and by him. The Lord said to Jeremiah in chapter 1, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." In chapter 29 and verse 11 of Jeremiah, he said, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." How many of you believe that God designed us? I mean, I don't just mean in general, but every one of us with a purpose. He made you on purpose with purpose. I was with Sister Singletary today, and she said, she kind of joking around, she said, "I don't know why God made me." But the truth is that in our lives, God has a reason for us being here. He also has, in Hebrews 9, it said, "It is appointed unto a man once to die." And so we have an appointment with God. Some people rush the appointment. And some people, by God's grace, extend that appointment. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, doesn't it? "Children, obey your parents, which is the first commandment with promise, that thy days may be long upon the earth." That was the promise. So he will extend our days. Of course, there are things that happen that move that date around, but we have an appointment with God. You believe that God has a perfect will for your life. He made us on purpose, with purpose, for his plan. He has a plan, right? He just said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, before you came forth out of the womb, I formed thee, I had a purpose, I ordained you, I sanctified you," right? You say, "Well, that was Jeremiah." Well, what's different about Jeremiah than it is for you? His calling, maybe. He has a specific plan. "I know the thoughts I think toward you, plans of good, not of evil," right? That's what he said in chapter 29. So God has a plan for us, a perfect plan. Now, how many of us think that we have stayed on God's perfect plan? Isn't it good to know God can change his plan? That's what I want to talk about tonight. And so we don't really have a narrow text like we normally do in an expositional, but we will be expositional. We're going to see what the Bible says, not just the preacher's thoughts. But in Acts 21 and verse 10, kind of laying the groundwork, you remember a man named Paul, right? The Apostle Paul, greatest missionary, wrote half the New Testament. Of course, by God's inspiration, he counseled the churches, ordained the elders and leadership in those churches, gave us the groundwork and the framework for how churches should function, right? He got saved when he was out to arrest Christians. He became a missionary, a preacher, traveled around that region doing great work for God. And then it reached a point in his life where he got a burden in his heart. He was determined that he was going to go to Jerusalem. How many of you ever had a burden about anything? You wanted to help somebody, or you had some mission or some project, and you said, "I want to be part of that." Now, for some people, feeding the whales, or protecting the whales, or saving the whales, or the owls, or the dogs, or you know, the poor. And for some, it's evangelism. And some, it's mission work or a certain region. You know, I get emails and phone calls, and got a call yesterday from a guy. His ministry, he goes to the flea market, sets up a booth on Saturday and Sunday, and both days, and with some helpers, they just evangelize all day. They don't stand there at the flea market and preach, but as you walk by the booth, they have stuff and they say, "Hey, would you like to come over here and talk about Jesus?" And they win a lot of people to the Lord every weekend. It's a great ministry. A missionary reached out today, going to Budapest, Hungary, right? Missionaries, I've got, these have been up here a few, maybe a week or two, but here's one to Ireland, is that where he's going? Wales, okay. There's a building ministry. I could go through. There's, you know, mechanic ministry, right? All kind of different. They just have a burden, helping people. That's good, right? That's a burden. Paul said, I want to go to Jerusalem because those are my people. That's my people. I relate to those people. I would find in my religion like they are. So I know exactly, I went to the schools, I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. I understand all the laws inside and out. And because I know their laws and their rules and their teaching so well, I'll be able to break the code, break it down for them, show them the errors, show them how it's wrong, show them the way is Christ, show them that in the origin, before we started manipulating all the rules, that everything God told us was pointing to his son. And so if I go back to Jerusalem, boy, I can make a difference. You got it in mind. Chapter 21, verse 10. As we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. When he was coming to us, he took Paul's girdle. He bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So God sent a prophet to warn Paul what would happen if he continued on his present course, right? Isn't that exactly what God sent Isaiah and Jeremiah, all these prophets of the Old Testament, Ezekiel, to warn them? And was it just a warning, Jonah? Was it just a warning? No. It was a warning that says, don't continue on your course. Change your course. That's not what Paul got out of it. How many of you believe Agabus was a man of God? A prophet of God, a prophet sent from God to warn Paul, excuse me, to change Paul's heart, to change his mind, to get him not to go to Jerusalem. And so God sent a prophet. Now, how many of us in our life have either through the general preaching or specific counsel had a minister, a pastor, somebody direct us to change course? That the course we're on is going to lead to destruction. And that's what happened here with Paul. Not only that, look in verse number 12. Of course, we know Luke is the writer of the book of Acts. It says, when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. How many of us are glad we have a church? Love our church. And in that church are people who are supposed to watch for our good, to care for us. I had a little note pop up from 6 years ago today from Bernadine. And it says, the professor's concerned about you. Says you need to slow down and take some time and catch your breath. Now, y'all know the professor is, right? Y'all remember. All right. So, but how many of us have been warned by the church? A brother, a sister, maybe an older one, maybe a younger one, maybe one of our same generation that said, hey, the path you're on is not good for you and you need to change course. They begged him. They besought him. Paul, please don't go. The man came from God. God sent this preacher to tell you that if you go, you're going to be arrested. Don't go. This is a warning. This is good. Don't do that. Verse 13. And Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So he put it on them. Y'all are trying to make me change my mind, and you're breaking my heart, and you're making me cry. What's the point? I'm going. And this message, this warning about getting arrested doesn't concern me because I'm willing to die. If it means I can go and preach in Jerusalem, preach the gospel to my people, even if martyred. How many of you would say he was hard-headed? How many of you all know somebody's hard-headed like Paul? He's hard-headed. Chapter 22. God sent a prophet, and God gave him the church, his brothers and sisters in Christ. In chapter 22, Paul is kind of rehearsing his testimony. In verse 17, he says, "It came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance." Now that's some heavy praying, isn't it? That's some deep prayer where he doesn't know what's going on around him. He's so locked in on his prayer, on his burden, on his conversation with God that everything else disappears. Guys, let me encourage you. That's the kind of prayer closet we need. Doesn't matter where it is. Doesn't matter if it's in a pew or in the woods or in the car or in the house or in the bed or the office or wherever it is you pray. We need to have prayer such that, and I'm not saying every time you pray, but really daily we should have time where everything else disappears and all we have is a conversation with God where we are before the throne of God in His presence. And I mean, I don't know how that makes you feel when you pray like that, but I tell you what, when I'm praying, just spending time with God in that personal one-on-one, the whole world disappears and I feel 10 feet tall. And that's what we need is prayer like that. Paul said, "I was in the temple, in a trance, in prayer. And I saw him," verse 18, "saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem." Now, I don't know about you, but I could believe that I would be hard-headed enough to reject the message of the preacher. I could be hard-headed enough to ignore the warnings of my family, my church family and friends, the brothers and sisters who have covenanted before God to be make me accountable. But to be in the temple when the Lord Himself says, "Get out of town." Directly from God, He says, "Leave town. For they will not receive testimony concerning me." Here's what God said. "You're wasting your time. You can preach till you're blue in the face. You won't have a single convert. Nobody wants to hear it. Abandon the mission." Paul says, "But Lord, it's me." Is that what it says in your Bible? Verse 19, I said, "Lord, they know not that I am..." They know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. When the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I was also standing by, consenting to his death, and I kept the raiment of them that slew him. Lord, they know that I was as deep in that religion as they are. And they will see me and how I got out and how my life has changed, and they're going to say, "Wow, Paul, we all need what he's got." Right? God said, "Paul, nobody's going to listen. They don't care. They don't want to hear it." And God says, verse 21, "Depart, leave Jerusalem, for I will send thee far hence to the Gentiles." God says, "Paul, I know you have a burden. I know you've convinced yourself that you're the best person to reach Jerusalem. But I've got plans for you. I know the thoughts I think toward thee." Isn't that what he said in Jeremiah? "Thoughts of good, not of evil. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I ordained thee and sanctified thee. I have a plan." How many of you can agree God has a plan? Not only did God have a plan for Paul and for Jeremiah, God has a plan for you and for me. It's a plan. We've already established that none of us believe that we've been excellent on that plan. But I see right here where God sent a preacher, a church, and he even showed up himself and said, Paul, this is not the right way. It's not going to work. You're going to get arrested. You're going to be in what you can do. I've got great plans, big plans. I'll send you places you've never been, and you'll reach people that have never heard about Jesus before. These people heard, and they don't want anything to do with them. What did Paul do? Well, you put it that way, Lord. I'll be on my way. No. He preached in Jerusalem. He got arrested. He was taken custody. Tried to kill him. Wanted to kill him. Had it not been for the soldiers and the officers on scene, the mob would have killed him. And he would have stood before God, and God would have said, I told you to get out of there. But you didn't listen. Guys, we mess up God's plan. God's got a plan. We mess it up. God said, Paul, I've got a design. Just do what I tell you to do. Get out of here. But he didn't. Chapter 23. And I've got a little note in here and this is what I wrote. His burden clouded his judgment. Oh, boy. Think about that. That hits right to home, doesn't it? His burden clouded his judgment. And I'll bet if we look back on our lives, we've all allowed our burden to cloud our judgment. Verse 11. Paul's been arrested. The night following, the Lord stood by him. I don't know. If you were Paul, what would you be thinking? You've been arrested. You're not going to be able, nobody was converted, just like the Lord said. You've been arrested, just like Agabus said. It looks like the end of your ministry, just like the church warned you. And Paul's lying there in the night. And probably thinking like I've thought in my life, wow, I've ruined everything. Oops. I've ruined everything. God had a plan. He warned me. He told me. He showed me. And I didn't listen. And now I've ruined everything. And now I'm in this jail. In verse 11, chapter 23, God said, it says, the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. God says, Paul, you messed up the plan. But that's okay, because I've got a new plan. Isn't God great? That even though we've all confessed in this room and said, I've not been in God's perfect will my entire life. I've not been in God's perfect will ever since I got saved. I believe God had a plan. I believe God had it all laid out. And I messed it up. But thank God that he says to us, cheer up. I got a new plan. By the way, Paul ministered in Rome, as God says here, all along the way for 7 more years. For 7 more years. God wasn't finished. God didn't give up on Paul just because Paul ruined the plan. God didn't give up on Paul just because Paul wouldn't listen. God said, Paul, I'll take this that you've messed up and we'll do something with it. Isn't that what he says in Romans 8? 28, maybe this is where Paul got the idea. All things work together for good for those that love God, those that are the called according to his purpose. Paul could look back on his life and say, wonder where I'd be if I'd have listened to God. If I had left Jerusalem when I prayed and God said, Paul, now's your chance. Get out. Where would I be if I'd have listened to God back then? Too late now. You messed up. But God didn't quit on Paul. And God hasn't quit on you. God has not quit on us just because we ignored the plan. Paul messed up God's plan, but God adjusts Paul's use. And he became a minister while in custody. And God can use us even after we mess up his plan. Now, I hope what you heard tonight is not, well, I can do what I want because God can still use me no matter what. I hope what you heard tonight is you messed up before. We've all messed up along the way. But God didn't quit on us. God can still use us. He can still use you. And he can still use me. Let's stand. Father, we're so thankful to be able to read this testimony of the greatest missionary. One who we all regard very highly and esteem so highly. And to see that he did what we do, ignored the warning of the preacher, ignored the warning of his brothers and sisters in the church. When confronted with absolute evidence of your will coming straight from you, he still ignored that. And got himself in a mess. Changed his life for the rest of his life. But you still found a way to make use of Paul. God, thank you for finding a way to make use of us. Even after we have failed, you, ourselves, and everyone else. And continue to use each of us, all of us, to make a difference. That souls will be saved and that lives will be changed. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.